Okay. Some sheets there. The learning this month in the Kol is sponsored by 5minutesoftorah.com. The learning this week is sponsored by the Kluger family, the Ilei Nishmas, Barry Kluger, Max Kluger, and Rabbi Schoenfeld, and Shammas to have an Aliyah through our learning. So the Psukim in this week's Parsha describe to us how Yaakov Avinu is at the end of his life, and he calls his children close to him, and he offers them brachos. But before he offers them brachos, Vayikra Yaakov el bana vayomer he asfu v'agid lachem es asher yikra eskam achris hayamim. So before he gives them brachas, it says that he calls them close, assemble yourselves, and I will tell you what will befall you in the end of days. The end of days is capitalized in the art scroll, which is a nod to Rashi's pshat, which is the Gemara in Pesachim and Bas pshat, which is that Achris Hayamim here is with Hey Idea, the end of days capitalized. It refers to the times of Mashiach, that Yaakovinu was going to be Megale. What's going to happen at the end of the days, meaning when Mashiach will be. That's what the Gemara says, Bigesh Yaakov L'Galas HaZaketz, that Yaakov had intended to disclose to his children when the B'as Mashiach will ultimately come, and Kadosh Baruch Hu at the last second took away that little Ruach Kodesh, took away that Nevuah, and he wasn't able to be Megala. That's why Yaakov was then, he was Chayshish, that maybe it was because Shem Mitaso was Eino Shlema. That wasn't the case. Shema Yisrael, Shem Lekem, Shem Echad, Baruch Shem Kuhn, Malchus Lelam Bad. But he had been mevakish to Megal the Kate, says the Gemara, and he didn't. That's intimated by which words in the Pasuk? Mistama by the words Achris Yamim. That's what the art scroll is capitalizing there. Achris Yamim means the end of days. The end of days refers to the Mashiach in some far future. But not everyone agrees with that. It seems to be the Pshat, that's what Rashi seems to understand the Pshat in Chazal, but not everyone agrees with that. If you look in the Netziv, he spells it out, but it's a machlokas mefarshim in general, what Achris Hayamim means. Does Achris Hayamim merely mean the ultimate end of days, Mashiach, or does it actually mean Achris Hayamim mean the end of these days? Meaning you're about to start off a tkufa of Galus Mitzrayim, that's going to last hundreds of years, so let me tell you how that's going to end, let me tell you where this is going, and he was going to be Megala, that Kates, the Kates of the Achris Hayamim, of their current Yamim. That's the Nesiv understands the Pshut HaShemikra of the words Achris Hayamim, and there are proofs both ways, but he has some... There is some textual proof to that in terms of the words Achris Yamim in Tanakh. The Nesiv says rather, and others disagree with this, meaning the Rabbeinu Bechaya, the Ramban, what Rashi can understand is that Achris Yamim refers to Mashiach. The Gemara does say, the Chazal do say, we're talking about Achris Yamim Mamish here, so that might come from a different word, which is the way Yaakov introduces this. Heasu va'agida lachem. I will be magid to you. A Haggadah is a lashon of telling over. But I don't know if we passed this already in Nefesh HaChaim or if it's later in Nefesh HaChaim, I just don't remember. But somewhere in Nefesh HaChaim, Chaim Blazner says, tell me if we passed it already, he says, Lahagid is a Lashon of to be Megala Nestarim, to be Megala private secrets. So, you know, like Yagid Masecho, Yagid Lala Masecho. It's giving over something that was hidden. That's not the normal Yediyah for someone to have. That's a Haggadah, that's telling over. So the Nesiv says, that's the Mashmaos here. But the Pasuk says, Agida. So Yaakov was going to disclose some secret. What secret? Not only the Achris Yamim of the end of Mitzrayim, but also the Bias HaMashiach. Okay, but he was going to Megala the Kates either way, whichever the words are that to intimate it. He was planning to be Megala the Kates, and he was held up from doing so. So there is room to talk about the Havamina and the Maskana. Yaakov Avinu had a Havamina to Megala the Kates to tell us when Mashiach was coming. The Maskana was not so. The Maskana was a Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow him to do so, and he didn't do so. There's room to discuss what the Havamina was and what the Maskana was. Just in particular, we know Chazal say, the Rambam makes a bigger deal out of this, even though it seems in one place he violates the rule, but you have to give a teretz. But what's the Lashon in the Gemara? Tipach atzmosan shel mechashvei ketz, or something like that. That people who are going to be mischashev with the cheshbonos of when the Mashiach is coming, they do this calculation, that calculation, this gematria, they try to find out when Mashiach is coming, so whatever, they should be destroyed, they're doing a terrible thing. Why are they doing a terrible thing? So the Rambam says, and the Gemara really already says this, but it's spelled out by the Rishonim, if you give markers for when the Mashiach is going to come, then two things happen. First of all, we know from history that it usually passes and the Mashiach didn't come. And that can put people off of derech and thinking the wrong way. And second of all, if you give a time in some far off future, it could depress people. They know it's going to be such a long, hard gullus. So it's a very depressing fact to know. So it's not a good idea to be mechashev kitzin, to try to find out when the Mashiach is coming. You do find the Rav Sajigon did it, and again, the Rambam did do it a little bit. The Ramban has a whole Sefer HaGeula where he does it. So you do find, even in the Rishonim, that there are Mechashve Yakitzim, but they give Tirutzim. The Ramban, this is an interesting Teretz, the Ramban gives an optimistic answer. He says, it's usher to be Mechashve of the Kates to try to figure out when Mashiach will come, in case it's so far off that you're then going to be depressed over the fact that it's so far off. But I know Mashiach is very soon, so it's not so depressing. So I could, that's a very optimistic answer. And I once heard Rav Lopiansky quote that they asked the Leshem, you look in the Zohar, anyone here ever learned the Zohar? Okay, so I'll say it confidently then. If you look in the Zohar, like I have, then you'll notice that it's full of cases where the Zohar tries to intimate different possibilities in terms of what year Mashiach is coming. With Gematrias, with the Ramazim, all different ideas of when Mashiach will come, what year it will come in. So they asked the Leshem, this is what Lubyansky said, they asked the Leshem, what do you do with that? Like, you're not Mechashed Kates, but then we look at this and it's like, it's Mefurish, the Zohar is telling us what year Mashiach is going to come. So the Leshem apparently said, what do you do when, again, I'm embellishing a little bit just in terms of spelling it out, but what do you do when the Zohar talks about the fact that Ribbono Shel Olam has his right arm does such and such, and his left arm does such and such. Chas v'shalom, we don't believe that's what it means. Everything's a mashal. That's part of why, this is the context I heard it in, that's why it's so difficult for us to learn Kabbalah. Because in order to learn Kabbalah, you have to be at a level not only where you hear right arm and you're able to say, oh, it doesn't literally mean right arm, it's trying to depict to me that it's the right arm represents, I don't even know, O's? O's b'imino? I don't know, whatever. Whatever it represents, I don't even know. But whatever it represents, I think of that. I don't think of a right arm and then translate. I just think straight to the Midah. So if you can't think at that level, then you're not supposed to be learning Kabbalah because it takes too long and it's too confusing to try to translate the ideas, the imagery, into ideas. So he said, in that context, he said, the Leshem responded, everything the Zohar talks about is a mashal, is really just an idea that's nizgalim, it's embodied by some imagery. But the imagery is always a mashal. So the years are also a mashal. The years, in terms of when Mashiach come, are also representative of what we have to get to, what those years and numbers represent. But you don't have to necessarily, get all bought into those particular years. Okay, it's led to a lot of problems in Jewish history when people were too bought into specific years. So the Rambam has a Yesod, and seemingly what Yaakov would have done would have taken away taken the teeth out of this whole Yesod, this whole Ikar. But he has an Ikar Amunah, the 12th of his Ikar Amunah, Aleph, Beis, and Gimel on the source sheet. He has the 12th of his Yid Gimel Ikarim, is Amuna in Bias HaMashiach. Ram reiterates that here in Hilchos Malachim, Parakit Aleph. And it's obviously in the Nusach of the Ani Mamin, as you have in source number, I don't know why I did letters this time, in Gimel also. If the Rambam, just to give us a little background in terms of the concept of Yud Gimel Ikarim, if the Rambam had any specific mucker or motivation for having 13 Ikarim, for having Yud Gimel Ikarim, he doesn't tell us about it. He doesn't tell us why it's 13. To us, it sounds more like he knows what the Ikrim are and end up being that it was 13. He didn't have some reason to do so. The Shla had some other Kabbalistic reasons why it's 13 and what that relates to. Some people relate to the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. There are ideas suggested, but the Rambam doesn't tell us, per se, where he got the number 13 from. In the context of that discussion of what number it should be, 13 more or less, so we're going to get to the Ikar about Mashiach, but we need a little background. The Chassam Sefer in the Chuvas in Yeradeya Simin Shin Nun Vav, he quotes a precedent for 13, where it comes from, that's the Rambam doesn't tell us about, but he does quote it. But the Chassam Sefer deals with the fact that the Rambam got hit from both sides. Rabbi Yosef Albo and his Sefer Ikrim, so he didn't feel like there should be 13 Ikarim. He felt like there should be 3 Ikarim. And that's what he wrote a Sefer Ikrim based on. It's all really an argument on the Rambam that really they don't need 13. Three is so, those three fundamental principles cover everything in terms of knowledge and understanding of what Yiddishkeit is all about. The Abarbanel and the Rosh Amana on the other side said there should be much more. There should be a tremendous amount of everything. If you don't believe Noach had two sons, or whatever, if you do believe Noach only had two sons, if you don't believe Noach had three sons, if you don't believe that Avram was married to Sarah, so you're also being kofar b'tahara, no? That's also Ikari Emunah. So how do you limit it to 13? So the Rambam got attacked from both sides. So I read once, Walter Cronkite wrote a memoir, not autobiography, like memoirs about his life. So in this book, he says, I think it's somewhere in the beginning, maybe it's the introduction, I don't remember, but somewhere early on in the book, he writes that if a person, this probably sounds better in Yiddish, but he didn't say it in Yiddish. He said, if a person is walking and he's being shot at from the right and from the left, then he knows he's in the middle. Meaning, if you're being attacked from both sides, you know you're probably right down the middle. You're probably doing something right. So the Rambam's getting attacked. Should have been more. No, it should have been less. Okay, so probably if we all looked at it, we'd agree. The Rambam's probably the one walking the right path over here down the middle. So in that context, the Chassam Sofer is dealing with what's considered an Ikar Emunah, what's not considered an Ikar Emunah. So when it comes to the questions of, let's say, like the Abar Benel we mentioned, that there should really be way more than 13 Ikar Emunah. So Reb Chaim had a teretz on this. Reb Chaim, not even a teretz, just an insight which does away with all the kashas. Reb Chaim explained that you need to understand what the Rambam was trying to do when he was writing the Sefer of Yud Gimel Ikrim, the Sefer, the minion of Yud Gimel Ikrim. What if a person never learned the Chumash Bereishis? Let's say he has no clue how many sons Noach had. He doesn't know it's three. He doesn't think it's two. He just doesn't know. He has no idea. So is he a kofar? Does he deny anything? He doesn't deny anything. He's an amaretz. He's missing Yediyas HaTorah. What if you ask Kadosh Baruch Hu, what if you ask a person if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Baal Guf? Does Kadosh Baruch Hu have any corporeal features? Is he a physical entity? And the person says, I don't know. I haven't looked into the sugya. So he's just an amaretz? No, he's missing a core yediyah. He's deficient in his yediyah of what the Ribbono Shel Olam, Metzias Hashem. He's deficient in the Yesod HaSamuna. I don't understand. It's the same thing. It's a lack of yediyah. It's a lack of understanding something. You don't know how many sons Noach had. You don't know if Hashem is a guft. So what's the difference? So Reb Chaim said what the Rambam was trying to distill for us is that these are not important yediyos. Everything's important in terms of yediyos. What these 13 Ikarim are is they're foundational, indispensable elements of Emunah. For a person to be a Baal Emunah, he needs to know these 13 things. It's not a matter of Talmud Chacham versus Am Aretz. He needs to know these things to be a Mamin and to not be a Kofer, to not be in denial of what the Emunah Hashem really really consists of. What Reb Chaim set down by answering, let's say, like the Abar Benel's Kasha in that way, is he also far-emphored the Chassam Sofer's Kasha. The Chassam Sofer is bothered, once he's in this subject that we set up a second ago, so he's bothered that one of the Ikari Muna doesn't make sense to him. He says, Nicha Metzias Hashem, Nicha Skarbon, well, actually not Skarbonish, but Nicha, you know, Nevuah, you have to believe in these things. You have to believe in those things, they are Ikari Muna. But he said, well, Mashiach, who needs Mashiach to be one of the Ikari Muna, the Chassam Sofer says. Let's say I believe in all other 12, just for argument's sake. He doesn't think you need all 12, but imagine you believe in all 12, and you don't believe in Mashiach Sheyava. So Yiddishkeit's going to be fine. Yiddishkeit's going to be Chai V'Kayim. You still have to keep the Torah. You still have to still have to believe in the Metzias of Hashem. You still have to worship Him. Like, everything still exists, even if you don't believe in a Mashiach. If you don't believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu existing, so then there's no Yiddishkeit. Nafal Abinyan. But if you pull out belief in Mashiach, it doesn't ruin Yiddishkeit. It doesn't take away anything. The binyan is not nofel based on that one ikar, on that one yesod. So why is that an ikar ha'emunah? So what I've heard from Rav Tursky in the past is that this insight of Reb Chaim answers that question. The Rambam wasn't trying to tell us 13 things that it's like a Jenga building that if you pull out any of these yesodos, so the whole building will collapse. That's not what the Rambam was trying to express to us. He was trying to tell us here are 13 independent yedios that are more than just yedios. They're not just who did Avraham marry. They're not just how many sons did Noah have. They are critical, fundamental yedios that define whether a person has emuna in a Ribbono Shel Olam or does not have emuna in a Ribbono Shel Olam. But it's not that if you don't believe it, then the whole Yiddishkeit falls apart. The Yiddishkeit will be totally fine. Potentially. You pull out Mashiach, maybe Yiddishkeit will be fine. Maybe there will be reason to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even if you don't believe in Mashiach. But if you don't believe in Mashiach, you don't believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're missing something in your Yedias Hashem, in your Emunas Hashem. So that's how the Chassam Sofer's Kasha is really done away with the Yisod of Reb Chaim. The truth is, even if you accepted the Chassam Sofer's Kasha, that you don't need Mashiach to have Yiddishkeit. You could have Yiddishkeit totally healthy and fine and have to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even if you didn't believe in Mashiach, even if you accepted that premise. So there still is a teretz. Rav Pinkus, he deals with this Chassam Sofer in the Nefesh Shimshon and Shari Emunah. Rav Pinkus didn't write Nefesh Shimshon. People know this, right? There's the Rav Pinkus wrote a few Svarim, very few Svarim. He wrote Shabbos Malkasa. He wrote the Tefillah one, Shari Tefillah, Sha'arim B'Tefillah. What did he write? Brachas B'Cheshbon, something like that. He wrote like a few Svarim. Those are the three brown ones. And then he also had, maybe more than three, but a few. And then he also has a whole series of these red ones. If you don't know the difference, we could talk about it another time when it's like that sun now, so we can talk about it another time. But the brown ones are the ones that Rav Pinkus wrote. The red ones are Nefesh Shimshon, Shirei Rabbi Shimshon Pinkus. Those are notes from the Shir, people who sat in on the Shir and that Rav Pinkus gave, so they wrote up his stuff. Nefesh Shimshon Shiri Hagon Rav Shimshon Pinkus. So Nefesh Shimshon Shari Emunah is on the Yud Gimel Ikrim. So in there, Rav Pinkus says that Mashiach is not an ikar in the sense of asid. It's not an ikar in the sense of the future. Mashiach is basic to our faith because of its meaning to our present. Meaning, the entire religion, the whole Das Yehudis, the whole Yiddishkeit, is based on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kores a bris with us, that he made a deal with us, that we're going to go through a galus, but with the mitzias of Am Yisrael and the mitzias of Eretz Yisrael and the Beis Hamikdash, what that all means is that's all going to come back, that's all going to be functioning properly in a geula ha'asida. The second you stop believing in a geula ha'asida, the second you stop believing that there's going to be a Mashiach, the second you're not an imam in Bemuna Shalema that a Mashiach is going to come, so it's not just that you're lacking an idea, that you're lacking a fundamental of emuna, that's for sure true, but also, taket is true, nafal abinyan. Yiddishkeit ceases to matter, because part of Yiddishkeit is the fact that we believe that there is this bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kores, a promise that he's going to come make good on, and if you don't believe in that, then the taket of the religion would fall apart. Awaiting a Mashiach, Rafinka says, it's not just the fact that life is going to be better later. It's what makes life meaningful now. The fact that we're awaiting a Mashiach is what makes Yiddishkeit still meaningful and relevant, even when we don't have a Mashiach. So there is an ikur of believing Mashiach. That's what the Rambam set down for us. That's how we paskin. The Chassam Sefer Akasha and the others didn't have the same count, but that's what the Rambam said. It's one of the Ikari Munah. So how does the Rambam say it? He says, "V'chol mi," just reading in Hilchos Malachim, "V'chol mi she'eno ma'amin bo," anyone who doesn't believe in it, "O mi she'eno mechak le'biyaso," or doesn't await its arrival, "lo b'shar neviim b'vadu kofer," he's not just being kofer in the neviim who prophesied about the coming of Mashiach, "ela b'torah uv'moshe Rabbeinu." They're being kofer in the Torah, they're being kofer in the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, "shar Torah hido olav," because he points out the place where the Torah is made, that we're going to have a Mashiach. So the Diak jumps off the page over here. I don't know if I bold. Yeah, that's underlined, it's bolded. The Diak jumps off the page. The Chavetz Chaim, in his little contrast, C.P. Zul Yeshua, he makes the Diak as well as others, but the Diak is clear. The Rambam here is not saying one din of Emunah be Mashiach. He's saying two dinim, two facets to this halacha. First of all, a person has to be ma'amin bo. He has to believe Shem Mashiach Yabo. He has to believe that Mashiach is coming. And secondly, Misha ina mechake libiaso, meaning a person has to be mechake libiasa Mashiach. A person has to actually await, has to be, we'll try to define that word soon, but has to wait for Mashiach. Generally speaking, the word lichakos, mechake, means to await, right? To wait for something. Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg from Ner Yisrael, so he has a very, very, very good sefer on Yud Gimel Ikrim called Evid Shisia. I don't think he wrote it. I think it's notes, but it's the shiurim are very good. So he has a different taich of the word mechake. He says that mechake doesn't mean to wait for. It means liyachel or lekavos, meaning to yearn for or to hope for. Meaning there's, on top of the mitzvah, on top of the din that a person has to believe that Mashiach will come, he has to want it to come. He has to yearn for it to come. He has to be pining for Mashiach. And he quotes, he garners support from the pasuk itself in Chabakuk, "Im yisma'ameh chake lo," so the mitzudus there is metargim chake as inyan tikva, a hope, a desire, a tikva that Mashiach should come. But the Chavetz Chaim and many others didn't think that. They thought lechakos is kipshut. Lechakos means that there's a din, that a person has to actually wait for Mashiach to come, and that's how we paskin. The Brisker Rav said that we paskin like the Ani Mamin. We don't know who wrote it, but we always paskin like the Nusach of Ani Mamin. So the Nusach of Ani Mamin is Af Pishis Mameya Im Kol Zeh Achak Elo. I'm going to wait for it B'chol Yom Shayavo, that it should come. That it should come any day. And what Revelvel made famous is that means that every single day a person has to believe and also expect or wait for Mashiach to be coming that particular day. You can never think that it's going to be delayed. It also seems meduyuk if you look in the Perish Mishnayos here. It's underlined as well in the Perish Mishnayos. See, Yisod Hashneim Asar Yomos Mashiach Vehu Lahamin Ulaames Laames. I'm not sure about it. What does it? Laames means to. I don't know. Sometimes it means to prove that it's going to be true, but I'm not sure what it means in the Rambam here. I once borrowed Rabbi Peir's, I think it was yours, the Rav David Cohen Sefer on the Ikari Emunah. So I think he says that it means to try to spread the belief to others, la'amis, to enlighten the world with the truth of the fact that Mashiach is coming, but it's not clear what the Rambam means by that word. Either way, la'aminu la'amis sheyavo, velo lachshov sheyizacher. Don't think it's going to delay. Don't think it will tarry. The Mashiach is coming. The Mashiach is coming. Yeah, the famous thing that's hard to understand, if the Revelvel is right, that you're supposed to think every moment that Mashiach could come, and therefore wait for it to come every single moment of every single day. So then what do you do with certain Gemaras? The Gemara in Erev and Amem Gimel, which says that a person, if he takes a neder that he's going to become a Nazir the day that Mashiach should come, so he's never allowed to drink wine except on Shabbos V'Yantif. Why? Rashi says, because on Shabbos V'Yantif we're certain that Mashiach is not coming on Shabbos V'Yantif. So what does that mean? So how can we have a chiv of a chakalo b'chol yom shiyavo, even on Shabbos V'Yantif, if we know, Rashi says we have a Kabbalah, that Mashiach's not coming on Shabbos. Same Gemara says how Eliyahu Navi will come be mavaser that Mashiach is coming the day before Mashiach arrives. So I understand. Today, how could I possibly think Mashiach is coming today? Eliyahu didn't come yesterday. So how could I possibly be mechake? What does that mean? How am I waiting for that? You look in the Gemara's in Sanhedrin, at the end in Chelek, the Gemara has simanim for when Mashiach is coming. If you don't see the simanim all around you, so how can you wait? How could you assume Mashiach can come any day? So they asked Rebbe Velvel these kashas. This is the story they say. They asked Rebbe Velvel these kashas, and Rebbe Velvel thought about it, and he heard the question. And he said, it's a good kasha. When Mashiach comes, we'll ask him. Meaning it's not something you have to know the answer to. It's something that is true, that we accept, and we'll find out what the answer is later. Rav Tversky, when he said that once, he pointed out afterwards that Rebbe Velvel wasn't making a joke. It's funny, and it makes you smile, but he wasn't saying a joke. I think Rav Tversky at the time said, I don't think Rebbe Velvel cracked a single joke in his entire life. Which, I'm not sure the following is a joke, but Rebbe Velvel did have a sense of humor. One time, it says in the Meller's Briscoe biography, that one time the children, the sons of the Briscoe Rav, were sitting in a room. They were all hanging out, and they were having a good time. They were schmoozing, and they were making jokes, and everyone was laughing. Everyone was, like, happy. And all of a sudden, their father, Rebbe Velvel, walked into the room, and there was dead silence. All the kids stopped laughing. They all stood up for their father, and it was like, Ema, V'yera, Restus, V'zeya. So Rebbe Velvel looked around, and he saw what happened. They were all laughing. They stopped. And he said, Misha nichnas av mematim besimcha. So, I don't know if he made jokes, but a sense of humor he certainly had. I guess it wouldn't have gone over well here. Okay. So we can't understand all the details, but we do paskin like the nusach of the animamin, and we assume there's a chiyuv to mechaka every single day, that a person does have to await the Mashiach. You have to assume it can come any single day. The truth is that the achronim do deal with those kashas from the Gemara in Erevin. You look, the Kesef Mishnah in the Rambam in Nazir Dal Yud Aleph deals with that question, the first question, and Margalos Yam in Tzadi Ches deals with the questions of the fact that the Eliyahu didn't come yesterday, so how are we supposed to believe today? And also the fact that the Gemara gives all these simanim for when Mashiach is coming, we would know. So he gives an explanation, simply put, that the Gemara tells us that there's Be'ita Achishena, that there's two options, two tracks on which Mashiach might come. It might come in a set time, Be'ita. We don't know what that set time is, but there's some time that's determined already that Mashiach is supposed to come. So Mashiach can come then if everything stays as normal on the trajectory that it's on right now. Or Achishena, if either we're, two possibilities, either we're Zocha, or we get so low, like, you know, Mitzrayim, 49th level of Tum, we get so low that we just can't last in a galus anymore. So then Achishena, Kadosh Baruch Hu, will, so to speak, rush the Gula. It will come earlier than expected, earlier than its determined time. But either way, you have two tracks to have Mashiach come. So the Rebbe Ruben Margolia says that all the simanim are about Be'ita. All the simanim are about the fact that if Mashiach is coming on its regular time without being rushed for either of those two reasons, for good or for bad, so then you'll have certain signs. Eliyahu will come. You know, you'll have certain things that'll be tip off symbols that Mashiach is coming. But if it's Achishena, if it's going to be anyways abnormal, it's not going to be in its right time, it's going to be rushed for whichever reason, so then who says the signs will be there? Who says Eliyahu will come first? Those are sort of up for grabs in terms of how Mashiach will come in those in that track. So the kashas may or may not be answerable. Rebbe Velvel didn't think it mattered. We'll ask Mashiach when he comes. The point is, right now, achak elo, we have to believe and we have to wait for Mashiach to come. This is a chiyuv. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph, if you have it on the sheet in Sor Dalet, the Gemara in Shabbos says that there are six questions that a person is going to be asked when they go up to Shemayim. We learned this a little bit in the first Seder on Daf Zion in Sanhedrin. There are six questions that a person is going to be asked when they go to Shemayim. One of them is Tzipisa Yeshua. What does the word Tzipisa mean? Tzipisa Li Yeshua? Tzipisa? So the word Tzipisa means to scout out, to search out. You know, we just had in Kiddush HaChodesh Alevav, we had based in his Yoshvin U'mitzapin. They sit on the edge of their seats and they wait for the Edom to come to tell them they saw the moon. There's a Tzipisa means to be sitting there and waiting on the edge of your seat, literally, scouting out, seeing is Mashiach on the way, is it coming? That's how we're supposed to feel. I think that the Lashon the Rambam has, and maybe from the Gemara, about the person, you know, the person who sits in the field with his talis on, waiting for Shabbos to come as well. There's a certain excitement, there's a certain thrill and expectation, and also seeking out of Mashiach coming imminently. So that's what we're supposed to feel about Mashiach as well. Tzipis el Yeshua. My friend is a Rav out of town, even more out of town than here. And there's a strong conservative Orthodox group in the area, very strong. Stronger than the Orthodox group. So he has a lot of interactions with them. So he knows some of their shitas, he deals with some of the rabbis. So around his first Tisha B'Av there, I think it was his first Tisha B'Av, they showed him, they have this thing called a Megillas Shoa. Anyone ever see this or hear of this? A Megillas Shoa, meaning every other Yontif has a Megillah, so why shouldn't, again, the Orthodox Jews are trying to cut down davening, the conservative Jews are adding Megillahs. So they have Megillas Shoa, which is supposed to commemorate the Holocaust and writes the story, and it's supposed to be depressing for Tisha B'Av. So they have in there, one of the parts of the text in the Megillas Shoa, is Ani Mamin Be'emuna Shleima Be'vias HaMashiach V'af Al Pishu Yizmameya Ani Mamin. They took out B'chol Yom Mechakalosh B'chol Yom Sheyavo. They took it out. They took out the Tzipia. They took out the being Mechaka. So this friend of mine said, it's too late. They already did it. But that's not just a line in the Rambam. That's part of the Ikar Emuna. The Rambam thought that was part of the Ikar Emuna of belief in Mashiach is the waiting and the being mitzapesh a yavo b'chol yom. That's part of the ikar amuna. So it's a fundamental change to the text. You can't do that. Yeah, how does a person create such a feeling that they're mamish on the edge of their seats, that they can't wait for Mashiach to come? What does that mean? We're supposed to be able to feel that. So one answer, there's more answers than this, but one answer I think that's worth thinking about a little bit, which is, you know, means taking what we're doing now and taking it further at a different time. One answer is that the emuna b'vias HaMashiach and the chiyuv letzapos l'vias HaMashiach are hub hatalia. They're intrinsically linked. Following a mashal. Not a perfect mashal, but it should suffice. Let's say someone calls you and says that one of the Gedalei Ador is coming to visit your house. Great, when's he coming? So they say, we're not sure, his plane is, we didn't get the details on the flight yet, he's supposed to land this week. He should come by your house, you know, the day that he lands, sometime that day. So it's Sunday. So it could be any time this week. So is the person going to sit out on his lawn waiting every single day that the Gadol should come to his house? Of course not, it's not normal. What he's going to do, he's going to go about his regular business in his home. He's going to be inside his house. He might be excited, he might be thinking about it, but he's not going to wait outside, he'll wait there. And eventually, the Gadol will knock on the door, or the Shamus will knock on the door, and he'll know the Gadol is here. Let's say a person gets a call and says, the Gadol Ador just landed in America. He's, okay, that assumes, maybe he was in Israel visiting. It doesn't assume where the Gadol Ador lives. I don't know where he lives. So he landed in California. He's coming to your apartment for lunch. He's going to be there in 15 minutes. So you know you have 15 minutes. But even though you know you have 15 minutes, at the 5-minute mark, you're going to be dressed up already. Maybe you're going to have your family with you. You're going to be standing on the lawn. You're going to be waiting for the Gadol Ador to come to your home. Why? You have 10 more minutes to go. You have 15 more minutes to go. What are you rushing out there for? When a person is told someone might be coming in the next some amount of time, so they believe that they're coming, but it's not like it's not imminent. It's not something that's so real to them. But the second they know it's coming imminently, the second they believe in the possibility that they can show up any minute, they know Waze might find a faster way. They might get there in 11 minutes instead of 10. They might get there in 14 instead of 15. So they're out there waiting. They're prepared. They're ready to go. They're being mitzapa. They're sitting outside scouting out. When's the Gadol coming? When's the Gadol coming? So they're getting ready for the person to come. So if a person doesn't have a real sense of emunah and Mashiach, which is a hard feeling to cultivate, to create in oneself when we're so far into the galus. But if a person doesn't have a true sense of emuna and a true sense of the emuna in the imminent, like the imminent nature, the how soon it might come, so then it's very hard to have the second aspect of being mitzapeh, because it's not real, it's not imminent, it's not soon, it's sometime, Mashiach might come. Great, I'll be happy when it does, and I'm okay until it doesn't. But the second a person works harder on that emuna and starts to believe in the fact that Mashiach can and will come, and that can happen very, very soon. So as you strengthen the emuna, as you strengthen the belief, so you're also able to strengthen the tzipia, the excitement and the sitting on the edge of the seat, you're able to expand your understanding of the emuna part, then the letzapos and lechakos, the b'chol yom sheyavo, that will become more easily attainable for a person as well. You have to look at the different sources. We don't have time to get into all of them now, but the Chafetz Chaim talks about this at length. But sometimes people have a hard time believing that Mashiach could come imminently in our generation when our generation has gone farther and farther from Ribono Shel Olam. That's not true. Chafetz Chaim says there are two ways that Mashiach can come. We could be such tzaddikim that Mashiach has to come, or we could be so the opposite that Mashiach has to come. So I think the Chafetz Chaim says, whatever, for better or not for better, really, it's for worse, but we live in a door where we know which track it's on. But that means that the chances of Mashiach coming are very good. It's a very good chance. It's very possible Mashiach will come. We have to be the ones who are adding up zechuyos. We need less zechuyos because the door is so removed. We need less zechuyos, but we have to work on adding up zechuyos that Mashiach can taka come. Best way to, the best mashal that I've seen in the past, and we'll stop with this, for what it means to be mitzapel Yeshua, so Rav Nevensal has a shmus in his Yushalayim b'Mo'adeha, where he asks the following question: what's so gishmak about Mashiach coming? Why would anyone want Mashiach to come? When Mashiach comes, there's going to be like Mrs. Basin again. You know, there's going to be. The Rambam says it's going to be, you know, Mala Ha'ardz Deya Es Hashem. There's going to be a lot of Torah knowledge, but it's really going to be like a lot of learning and a lot of Tum and Tara are going to be back in effect, and Trumas and Meisers are going to apply to everyone at their highest level. Like, it's really a hard thing to deal with. Why would anyone want Mashiach? So he says the Rambam spells out for us exactly what we're mitzvah for, exactly what the Mashiach means for us. He says that we're yearning for the removal of Shibud Malchios, and that will allow us the incomparable pleasure, says the Rambam, of sitting and learning and being mekayim the Torah. It's very difficult to do that in our current situation, but when Mashiach comes, we'll be relieved of so many outside stresses that we'll be able to sit and learn and we'll be able to be mekayim the Torah properly. So Rav Nevensal said a mashal. This is how he, I don't know if anyone here is familiar with his style, but this is how he often writes. So he says, a person's Mashiach's going to come. A person's going to wake up in the morning, they're going to open up the newspaper, and they're going to see on the front page of the sports section, it's going to be Ravana Abaya duking it out in Svaras. And he's going to turn on the radio, and instead of the news, he's going to hear that the Melech HaMashiach just said a Gevaldik Ashir Klali, and they're saying over the Shtikl Torah. And everywhere he turns, it's going to be more and more Divrei Torah. So he says, so is that a Yeshua? Is that a Gishmaka? Is that exciting for someone? Do you like that Metzias? Do you want Mashiach to look that way? So it's sort of like the mashal they say about the Gan Eden is a shtender and a gemara, and Gehenna is a shtender and a gemara. It depends on what you made of this world, if you're going to enjoy it or not. But it's everything's the same. So the Rav Nevensal says, if a person builds up now his love for Torah, his cheshek for learning, his excitement for ruchnius, and all the dinim, and applying all the dinim, and learning all the dinim, so Mashiach is going to be amazing. It's going to be a gevaldika experience. So we have to work on the emuna, and the emuna helps foster the tzipisal Yeshua. The aspect of knowing that it can be here because you believe it helps you cultivate a feeling of being mitzape and mechake that it should come. But also a person has to do his part to engage in ruchnis in this world and get more into Talmud Torah and do a lot more learning and get more excited about the fact that a life could be kulo Torah. And then he'll be mitzape even more for a Mashiach to come, because that's really all Mashiach is. It's going to be the removal of outside stresses that we can sit and learn. Al Taras HaKodesh. So we should be mamin Mashiach, we should be mitzap Mashiach, we should know what Mashiach is, and that's the best way on both sides to create the tzipis Yeshua. And that is part, as we point out in the beginning, that's part of the chiyuv, that's part of the yud gimel ikrim, the ikra of b'yas Mashiach, is not just to believe, but also to await every single day the Mashiach should come, so to probably be mekayim it is, you have to do an avodah on both ends. You have to work on the emunah, and you have to work on the excitement for what the Mashiach promises. Okay, we'll stop here.